The following program
is the officially sanctioned podcast
where three friends
talk about the show
about four friends
who compete to embarrass each other.
The
Impractical Joker Podcast.
Yeah, come on, get up, get in here.
Come on, get inside, join us.
Come on in. I made tea.
Casey's got the tea. Sip it a little bit, and we're gonna spill it right here on the official Impractical Jokers Podcast.
I wonder when people listen to this. I wonder if it's like it's like have a beer and listen to the podcast. I wonder if it's like have some coffee in the morning and listen to the podcast. I wonder if maybe you're not even having a beverage at all. I don't know why I'm so beverage specific.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the time I listen to podcasts the most is when I'm going to bed. It's like I'll put it on to like soothe me and go to sleep. Maybe people just go to sleep.
I just yelled, come on in here, get up.
Yeah, exactly. We're waking them up. And then, so they might only listen to the first half of this podcast before they, you know, go to La La Land over there. So we got to get all the good stuff to them quickly. And this is a great episode. This episode, honestly, is, I think, my favorite of the season so far.
Yeah, you said that right before we started rolling. You were like, this is the best. So this is authentic. James really has this opinion. It's not some, he's not just trying to say it because we're rolling.
No, not just putting it on. This one is great. I mean, this punishment is an all-timer. This, I talked about it a few weeks ago, like kind of queuing up one that we had that I was really excited about. This is it. The NASA punishment is an all-timer.
I agree. It's also a weird episode because it's got a very long first bit, mm-hmm. and then it's got the second challenge. Joe's not there,
yeah.
which is just unique.
Very.
And then the NASA pun. Were you at all these shoots, Shay?
I was at all of them.
Yeah, as usual. As per usual.
I remember, yeah. I mean, yeah. I remember the note. I remember that day.
Me too. I was there too, actually.
Yes. That was a good day.
Yeah, I was glad I was there because Joe, you know, wanted to be. We'll jump into that. Let's talk about that first, actually.
Yeah.
Because that's really interesting that, you know, and I love how they did the intro. They were like, we're going to look a lot different because we shut down like basically the next shoot we had to shut down.
Right.
I think Joe was really sick. I wonder if he even had, you know, like, you know, symptoms or something.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I know like everyone was being a little cautious, but he was definitely sick. And this like rarely happens where we'll go ahead and film something without one of the guys. It has happened. I've been here since the end of season two mm-hmm. and it's maybe happened three times. I don't know, something like that.
I definitely remember like a time Q being sick. I remember a time Sal being sick. And I think usually in that situation, we would try to just have like two of the guys go like almost like a Joker versus Joker. And this time I think we're like, let's get all three. And then we'll like, do you want to know what the plan was?
Yep.
They were like, we'll come back here because we wanted to do the, like another challenge here. And we'll do that challenge. And we'll also do just one of Joe's turns. And then we'll try to, you know, pick up like us talking to him or him asking us to do things, you know?
Exactly. We're going to go back there. Barring any unforeseen incidents, there's no problem with that plan.
Yeah. As long as we don't have a novel coronavirus.
So that was our plan back in March of 2020, early March 2020. Go back and film another one because we can do so many other bits at that place. Like you can imagine them going up to people and saying, hey, I'm writing an email. Can you help me with this thing here? Or like,
I love that location.
All sorts of stuff. So we were like so happy to have that location. And when we found it, we're like, oh, we're definitely going to go back. You know, Joe, rest up, feel better. Don't worry about it. Maybe we'll pick up your turn another day.
It was a great location because they have like a bar at the downstairs. And so like after the shoot, I mean, it's just the crew starts having drinks and it was really interesting. Like I remember everyone speculating about what this like sickness was going to be like. Mm-hmm. And I remember like Pete McParland, our showrunner being like, I have a feeling we're going to have to like shut down for 2 weeks, which is so funny. Like, I mean, just to think like he was like, we're going to shoot until we actually have to stop. And then at that point we'll make the decision. And then that's what happened. Like 3 days later, was the shoot that like we were like, okay guys, we're gonna just stop for 2 weeks, see what happens, which is responsible too.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was right when the movie came out.
Mm-hmm.
So Gatto was doing a lot of traveling, doing a lot of in theater appearances.
That's right.
And I want to say he just came back from LA and they had just shut down the LAX airport.
Wow.
Like, I want to say maybe a couple days after that they shut down the airport.
That's totally right. I forgot the movie was in theaters when this was all happening. Yeah. And the guys they did a promotional thing where they would each fly to a different city and like go and watch the movie multiple times with fans, like all across the country.
Yeah.
Yeah. I totally forgot about that.
Yeah. Really cool.
I think that, you know, it was the traveling and everything. And it could have been,
I mean, it could have been just regular sickness too, but it's also, he could just could have been like worn down from all the travel.
And then we had the cruise, then the movie premiere, and then the promo.
Wasn't Joe also stuck in traffic? Like, was he going to come to set and then he like turned around because it was like,
I don't remember.
Maybe that was a different shoot.
Check the traffic cam archives.
That's true.
Find out.
Well, let's jump in. Sorry. We're going to say James.
No, I was just going to say it's funny. Like Shay was just talking about their schedule of like, oh yeah, they were on the cruise and then they had the movie premiere. And then like, the guys never have a normal schedule.
I know.
We're not shooting, they're running.
Yeah.
The big thing is like we shoot our show mostly, I would say like a Monday to Thursday kind of show, because the guys tour the country and do their live show Friday, Saturday, Sunday, all across the country, you know? So, and sometimes like overseas. So it is really nuts to think about their schedule. They are together nonstop. They really are. They're together like 7 days a week. Like at one point I remember Gabby being like, I see these guys more than I see my family. they're like a baseball team with no off season. They're just always together.
You know, it's funny, the shutdown, you know, the kind of quarantine started, there was talks about doing like that dinner party thing. And there was a meeting where we got on a Zoom and it was the first time that he'd seen each other in like 3 weeks, which was like the longest they've probably ever gone without seeing each other. And that was not even in person. That's just such an interesting thing that they never go that long.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
Which is beautiful. It's a beautiful friendship. And they made a TV show out of it. That's what we're going to talk about today.
Absolutely.
Welcome. Come on in. Have some tea.
Get that tea and go to sleep. If you're listening to this podcast, to go to sleep, have some nice chamomile and then drift off. But first I want to talk about this first challenge.
Yeah.
Let me bring up something real quick.
Sure.
The intros for this episode are the best. Part of the reason why this is the best episode, in my opinion, of the season. The intros were really funny to me. You could see the guys actually reading off a piece of paper in this first one.
Yeah.
A little inside baseball here. The way those intros come about, usually some of the comedy producers like Casey, myself, will have to write those intros. We'll give them to the guys. The guys say these are terrible and then they will rewrite them on that piece of paper. It is a part of the gig that we hate.
Yep.
None of the comedy producers like writing intros at all.
Because we're bad at them. The guys have to change it every single time. Like you said, like we're bad at them. I've written like two successful, like they didn't change a thing intros. Like production hates us too, because like they have to stop down and rewrite everything we write. So I'm sure Shay hates us for it.
I mean, the intros don't bother me because I don't have to, I'll ask them like, okay, cool. It's time to do intro, guys. You want to look at the intro? They all say no. Because the guys tend to change stuff around a lot. Like, you know, you guys are set with what we're going to do. And all that good stuff for the day, right?
Yeah.
And then they come in and they change stuff majority of the time. So we used to do the intro in the beginning before we started shooting the bit,
right.
But they would change things. So then we had to do the intro all over again because the game would just change. So now we do the intro at the end. So once we finish the bit, I'm like, all right, guys, you know, in the beginning, it's the not it. And at the end, it's all right, intro, you want to look at intro now? And they all say no. And then Sal's always the one that redoes the intro.
Yeah, he has. He's really good at it though.
Sal is super dope.
He's like a genius with sentence structure and like words and like getting it out to be as clear as possible to know what the audience is about to see. It's a specific talent that like you need to be good at. And like, there's times I can articulate it well. And then times where I just think I even overcomplicated it because I'm trying to explain this thing.
Yeah.
And Salkin has a finesse to do it effortlessly.
And also Murray is really good at grammar and he's good at all of that stuff, which I write all the time. That's why I have editors. Like there's like people that check my grammar because it's always wrong. The participles are messed up, the tenses of the verbs and stuff. And he's like so on top of it with all of that stuff. And he's good at like writing copy, like kind of thinking like as a development exec, he's good at like coming up with like the buzzwords and stuff like that. So yeah, the guys are really keyed into that aspect of it. But Shay, like that's a great point. Like I don't think a lot of fans know that we actually filmed the intros, like you said, at the end of the day in case the bit changes at all.
And for an example of that, like let's say like in this first bit, right, it's it's tournament style where it's like a turn and then another turn and then the winners of those two compete. We call that tournament style. So if the day they were filming it, they decided to do it just two different turns and then they switch it to tournament style, like, you you know, because they're like, this is so much fun, let's keep going, then that intro would have to change. So why not just wait till the end in case, or in case if they thought it was going to be tournament style and they only did two turns, you know, mm-hmm. based on like, if we have the right amount of people, quote unquote, marks to come through. So that's a little behind the scenes that you get for listening to the podcast. Sip your tea.
Yeah. With the second, not to jump ahead, but the second game changed like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, it was complete. It was going to be, I mean, it was going to be different in general. We were going to do a whole different thing that day. Mm-hmm. And on the fly, we came up with this. And then also we got the intro way later because when Joe was around.
And then the, yeah. I want to say it was, am I looking at the right bit where,
yeah.
Murr had to read his own uh-huh. note. And then in the beginning, they were supposed to read each other's.
Yeah. On the fly, they were like, how funny is that? It wasn't thought out that way. So you're kind of throwing yourself under the bus in this fun.
I love it.
You didn't know it was going to happen. That's what I love about like the guys, like they're just like up for anything. Like it's the spirit of the show in general.
Yeah.
Just to be like, we're going to flip the script on you.
Exactly. It's like, to me, again, it's like part of the reason why I love this episode so much. We get like a little bit of everything that you love about Impractical Jokers in this episode, that like, it's a game with rules, but the guys are in charge of the rules. And then like, as long as they agree to them, they can change them up. And I love that they're just throwing each other under the bus in that way. Cause how many times have we seen them throughout the years write something ridiculous for the other guys to read? And now it's like, you know what? You're going to read your own stuff and see, like, you want to throw me under the bus that way? Let's do it. So yeah, I love this episode.
Even this other one, the first one, like it's that, right? Where they wrote each other's for the reverse taste test, right?
So good.
They wrote each other's thing. But like, what I love about this is that the moderator, who's usually someone like you, James, or like mm-hmm. one of the comedy producers or whoever, instead we're putting that mark in that role of power, you know? Yeah. And then they get to decide like which one's going to move on. This was exciting. This one was really, I love tournament style challenges.
I do too. And what you're saying there makes so much sense. Because yeah, we're trying to think about different ways to like give the mark a different experience, or like different power dynamics between the guys and the mark. So we're like, mm-hmm. usually sometimes the guys are on like even footing with the mark, mm-hmm. where it's like I'm the moderator and the guys and the marks are all in the focus group. A lot of times the guys are, hey, here's a presentation we made and we hire marks to be in the focus group.
Yeah.
This time it's like, well, why don't we just hire a mark to lead the focus group?
Which sometimes those people are actually hired to do that sort of thing.
Exactly. And so now they have the authority over the guys. Mm-hmm. It kind of tweaks that power dynamic in a really fun way. Like the one that this bit is closest to is, I think, Weakest Link, which is that one where one of us is the moderator. The guys write it for each other.
And then there's other people in the room.
In the room. And like, that's like the episode where it's like, what's like your perfect city? And like Joe said, like it would have like a heaping pile of pasta in the middle of the city to attract new people, all that stuff. But yeah, so this is a little bit of a twist on this and way more COVID friendly. We filmed this during COVID. You've got two of the Jokers who get tested every day. Basically, and then a mark, just one mark is all you need
across
in the room
the table,
with across the table.
And you got Jay Miller in this, you know, which is nice. He doesn't appear like in this kind of role too much. Like you always see him in the background of challenges.
You do.
It's nice that he gets to be the one who's like, and I don't know who thought the idea of the holding up the Polaroids. Like I didn't know that was part of it until I watched it for this episode. I did not know. So holding up the two Polaroids and having their names on it is such a fun visual way of showing like, you know, which one is it? So they know exactly the name and what they look like. It's such a little tweak that I'm like, I love TV. I love when people think of these ideas.
Yeah, I think it was Sal. Oh. It was either Sal or Joe. I'm not positive, but it was
genius.
They were like, how funny would it be if Jay comes over and you're actually holding up photos of them and you have to pick which one?
And Polaroid's exactly what it should be because it's like, you know, it's what they're wearing at the moment. It seems mm-hmm. contrived if it's like, here are headshots of these two guys. Like, why are there headshots for a focus group?
Yeah. And Jay does a great job all the time on the show. And it's like, yeah, he's really, really funny guy. If you ever get a chance to check him out, like Jay Miller at Mid Evenings is his like Twitter handle and stuff, but hilarious guy and a great producer on our show. I love seeing him in this role. And that first mark really psyched me out. I thought there was no way that Murray was losing in that first one.
I agree. That was such a fun little fake. Yeah. The fake out is exactly how you should describe it. That's good.
It was really good. That first mark also, I don't know if you guys felt this way, kind of reminded me of like, he's like Fred Armisen's cousin or something like that. I was getting Fred Armisen vibes from that dude.
Yeah. You know, you're right.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah. He was great. Rick was his name. He was really good. Like I liked, he's definitely the mark of the episode for me.
Oh.
It was good because he invited the strange, like, you know, answers, but also questioned them. He was like, what does that mean? Like, wait, explain that. He was really good at like putting them on he almost felt like how we would do it as moderators.
Oh, that's a good one. I've got a mark of the episode coming up a little bit later.
Oh, okay.
Rick did not win it for me.
I think I know who you're going to say, and I think we agree.
Okay. Excited.
So yeah, there's some fun. I mean, obviously this is like filled with great lines. You know, some of my favorites are like Don Cream and Brain Pill.
I just like the phrase butt hurt. I'm happy that got back in there. there.
Yeah. I wrote that down as like a, took a note, butt hurt, tongue without scars. Yeah. This is like, there's so many, like, this is one that you can make, you can fill up a t-shirt with these quotes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The Jewish one where they cut the penis.
Such a good one there from Gatto. Or I guess from Sal that he made Gatto say. Yeah. It's always hard to track who to give credit for on that.
I give it to the guy who said it. Yeah. Then there's also that power bar KY and Toblerone. Like, I love when the, like, and they call it out, the order of it's great. Like, you know what I mean? You almost try to like stick it in the middle. So as if like they didn't hear it, but it's, how can you not hear KY?
Yeah. Technically you're not supposed to write jokes that way. Like if you're really trying to write jokes, like you want to write them with the punch at the end. So for all you like aspiring stand-ups out there, have your punch at the end. But for our show, it's because of the way it is, you like to like have those things the guys run past and just make it awkward and weird and have the mark go, wait, hold on 1 second. And you could always be like, yeah, like, yo, the Toblerone is what's confusing you, right? Like, no, you just said KY.
I'll tell you a funny story about that specifically and how it could be worked so effectively. So me and Joe Ambrosio went to high school at Monsignor Farrell High School, the same high school as the guys, but different, you know, we're a bit younger. And there was a television studio that I was like the anchor for. And so we would always try to get my friends on. So we said that Joe was part of the diving team at Farrell. So we had him come on and I was like, so what dives do you do? And he knew that this question was going to be asked. And his answer was, you know, I do the front flip, the back flip, you know, a double somersault, the muff dive, and of course the belly flop. And everyone in school laughed. And the teachers were like, oh, it must've been because of belly flop, but he snuck muff dive in there. You know, he said it to our entire Catholic school. And then he said he was like leaving and a teacher was just like, Mr. Ambrosio, belly flop. Like she repeated belly flop, probably because the class like laughed and they just assumed it was the last one, which is like a silly dive, a belly flop, you know, but he snuck in this like crass joke. You know, that's why he's here. That's why he's working on
the show.
That's
great. That actually, Casey, that brings up a mailbag question that I've got for you from a fan.
All right.
Nate Gunderson asks,
great name.
In a recent episode with a PowerPoint presentation, they blurred out the word shit, but didn't bleep it out when it was spoken. What sense does that make? Who decides what's okay and what's not? Can you shed any light on that?
There's certain words like, so like also things change. So like the middle finger no longer is blurred.
Right.
Like we can show middle fingers now. I'm not sure if that's across all platforms, but the like on True TV when it airs, at least you could see some middle fingers now. I don't think retroactively we're going back and unblurring middle fingers, but I think some of the rules have changed. And I think, and you might've said this, James, like shit, if you use it as like poop, it's bad.
Right.
But like in terms of like, you know, like, oh shit, it's okay. Yeah, I forget.
Exactly. And it's weird. The FCC,
standards and
by
practices.
The way.
Yeah. The S&P or whatever.
Yeah.
Like they have to like watch the context.
Right.
You know? So I think if you say like bullshit, although bullshit derives from the poop of bulls, no?
Yeah. It's more like if I guess like, I don't know who is the one that sits there in a room is like, I'm taking a shit, gets a bleep, but you're like, what's with this shit? Doesn't.
Either one actually is, I think both of those should be fine. Shit should be fine no matter what.
My grandma was early on this. She always said shit wasn't a curse, which got me into trouble in middle school, but she was big on that. So she was ahead of the curve there.
It's really funny nowadays, like to really think about curses. There's so many words that do have meaning, like, you know, problematic words.
Yeah.
And sometimes those are almost like, oh, don't worry about it. But like a word like shit is nothing.
Yeah.
Like it's in the grand scheme, it's absolutely nothing. It's like we've given power to this stupid bullshit word.
And I have zero idea why it has to be blurred, but you can say it. The only thing, the unfortunate explanation is just because. Like there's no good explanation for it. For whatever reason, writing it and reading it is worse than hearing it.
I say free the nipple is basically how I feel about shit.
Well, yeah, here's a quick little aside. The C word, you're allowed to say that on cable now. You weren't able to for a while.
Oh, really? Only in London. I think in the UK, that's as common as tea.
No, but Inside Amy Schumer fought for that to get it on. Cause it's like, well, you can say dick. So why can't we say the C word? I don't like saying the C word. So it's like, it does feel harsh, but it was like a good point for them. And they fought for it and they were able to get it unbleeped on the air. They're like, what, like, where's the equality there? And they were able to get it done.
I agree. Yeah. It's interesting.
It is interesting. But yeah. And diving back in, to
muff
the challenge,
diving, muff diving,
muff back diving in. Back into the challenge. I'm sorry. Thank you for correcting me, Casey. And thank you, Nate, for that question. I love it. And again, we just had Gatto on the podcast for the past couple of weeks. He was generous enough to join during that. And I did say say during it, me and Joe kind of think the same way a lot. Mm. A great example, I guess maybe Sal wrote this, but Joe delivered it, is when he starts railing on the Northern Italians.
Yes.
Is a thing that makes me laugh all the time. We joke about it. Again, the guys are all somewhat Italian, I think, like half Italian or whatever. And it's just like, to be so prideful of being a Southern Italian and just rip on these Northern fat cats is a thing that makes me laugh to no end. And Joe delivered it so funny here, ripping on those, again, those Northern Italians whose fingers are like spiders in the pockets of the working class, Calabres, Sicilians, and Napoli Don.
I love it. Really trying to start a civil war in Italy.
it's already brewing. Those Northerners just take.
That's when we talk about like the specificity in comedy. And it's like, what a thing, what a hill to die on.
Absolutely.
I will say earlier, you said that the Jewish one cut the penis, that you attributed that to Sal, but that was actually Q. That was during the Q turn.
Oh,
okay. The Q verse Joe turn. And then the last turn was Sal verse.
Yes.
Joe. And Sal took it home. I'm surprised, because Joe did that thing in the one before where he just started with like, I have a marketing background. And you could tell the woman was like, he had a marketing background, so keep him. Like, that's all she heard, because all the rest of it was nonsense. But the only thing that she was like, okay, between these two, you know, clowns. Yeah. So it's almost good to like stack the deck by throwing in like little claims to fame.
Yeah.
You know, but that's why I'm surprised he lost in the end. You know, Sal takes it home. Really good. You know?
Yeah, I agree. You're right. It was great. I was surprised to see a rare Sal victory. Brian Quinn said it best right there. And it's funny, like, that is real. The guys, like, again, they're all in the show all the time. Sal and Murr kind of have more punishments. And that's why it's like Sal kind of loses a lot. Like, it's easy to make him lose. And so that's like a real thing. Like, when Q said it, that he really felt that way. Same thing, too. You get to see them when they're talking about like Murr and Q in the back. And like, we're losers, but we're not working anymore today. Like, that's true. It's like, you get to kind of relax. You're in the BTS. All you're doing then is laughing and throwing your friends under the bus.
And, you know, the whole thing's a competition, as we've talked in the past. But it's never more of a competition when they go head to head. For the game Sudden Death debate, you know, when it's like Jesus or Batman, Joe is so competitive. Joe wants to win those so bad. Like, just a little behind the scenes, like, anytime it's like a tournament style thing, or if it's like, you know, put pocketing, Joe's playing for keeps.
Yeah.
Like, more than any of the guys. But, you know, also like in a don't break challenge, I think Joe is like, I can't lose, don't break. And so we had one, remember, where Q gets the guy to do the somersaults and Joe brings out his parents, and it ended in a stalemate. Like, they both won. That's just because like Q and Joe were playing for keepsies.
Yeah, absolutely. Case, you know what I just learned?
What?
When you brought up Sudden Death debate, you know that guy Darius? That was a mark. He was the mark with, I think it was Murr.
Was it the, like, How I Lost My Virginity one?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
And that one.
And Murr's like, well, let me tell you this. And the guy was immediately like, oh, you can't start with that. You know, like, he is like very outspoken.
How do you remember all of these?
Yeah, that's impressive. I wouldn't have remembered his name, but I do. I just, the way you spoke of him, I kind of remembered he was really good. And Sal was like, I love this guy.
Yeah. Did you know he's a director?
I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah. Like, apparently he wrote like, or directed some like big, like, horror films recently. I just learned it, and the names of the films are escaping me. But like, he's got like his own career and stuff on his own. I think I'll have to find them exactly.
Darius Holbert?
Maybe.
No, it doesn't make sense. Sorry. I just typed in Darius horror director and that came up. So I'm not right. Well, you know, anyway, everyone find him, find the
find
clip.
Him. Find out Darius. He's the mark in the episode.
Do our searching for us.
I totally forgot about it. It was Pete McPartland mentioned that offhand the other day in a meeting. It was like a little fact that I never knew.
I love that.
Yeah. Crazy.
That's pretty fun. So yeah, and that wraps it up, I think, for reverse taste test. Very fun bit.
Case, I do want to give one shout out to Gatto. He did a real subtle thing in that episode that was great. When he's talking about how that sports drink would have saved his marriage, he's hiding his wedding ring under the table the whole time so that the mark doesn't call out that he's like still married or anything like that. Real subtle. What a nice play.
His brain is going at all times in all different directions. He can multitask.
Yeah.
He's thinking of the edit. He's thinking of the guy. He plays for keeps. I've said it before. I'll say it, I think, a third or fourth time. He plays for keeps.
That's right. So much so, he doesn't even show up for the next bit. So he's gone. We talked about it a little bit. He's gone, an apology note. But this one was great. I love that the guys had to read their own during this. And the first iteration of it where Murray is really thrown under the bus, and then those people know the guy they're talking about. So I felt like the entire entire time they knew Murr was like up to something or was BSing them, because they're like, we know that guy, what you're saying doesn't really sound true.
Yeah.
And so he was like, yeah, this whole note wasn't ready to go. It kind of had to admit that his wasn't that great, basically.
Pretty solid stuff. It's a really fun game for that specific thing too. Like, it worked out so well that they did that switcheroo.
For Murr's turn, I have a question. Mm-hmm. In case you were there, right?
Yeah.
Did we actually, like, was the guy's real name Pete?
I forget. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Because I was like, how do we, like, how did the dude, like, well, that, his name's not Pete. You know, like, how did we... Did we get the guy's name?
That's a good question.
I know sometimes we usually do.
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't think so. I think that was like, it just happened. I'm pretty sure, because we actually intentionally didn't want to approach anyone to, like, you know, for the realism, mm-hmm. you know, and we didn't want to mess with that too much.
Yeah.
And in fact, like, there was probably a time that Murr waited online or was there and then got spotted and had to go to a different place, you know?
Yeah.
Or just wait for things to change a little bit.
The way I took it was that his name wasn't Pete. Like, it was just Pete and the note that he wrote, and then he just called the guy Pete. The people there are like, that guy's name's not Pete, like, in their minds. But then what made sense to me was, like, because he switched the kids at birth, mm-hmm. maybe he truly was Pete, but then when he got switched, he had a different name. But that was just, again, I wasn't there that day. I don't know.
True with the character breakdown.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that was like all of my, like, putting it together from the couch.
Yeah, I don't remember. I think I was like talking to production and making sure like everything was written up, because I think the guys had, like, they'd all sat down with their computers and typed it and then mm-hmm. emailed it to me, and then I brought it to Art and Art wrote it out so that it was easy to read, like, legible, because everyone's got chicken scratch. Yeah, so I think I might have been making sure every letter was, like, written, no typos, you know, no misspellings,
yeah,
like, easy to read. That's like a part of our job sometimes, is to, like, just facilitate that stuff,
yeah,
and to make sure it gets all good to go. Yeah, that was a fun day. We almost did a punishment that day too. We had an idea for a punishment to film that day. Like, I think Sal had an idea. I don't want to say it yet because who knows, maybe we'll go back, but that sometimes happens where, like, someone's like, this is a great environment for this, let's do that thing. And then I think since Joe couldn't make it,
right?
I also love that, did you see the freeze frame of, like, when it was challenge two? This doesn't happen much. Basically, if you catch it,
yeah,
as they did the intro and Joe was like, and by the way, like, this, we filmed this a long time ago and I couldn't be there that day, and it goes to the thing, you know how it's like the four photos and they're like still frame, it's like they take a frame from each of the guys' turns. The one of Joe is, I wonder if I could share. Yeah, I'll share my screen so you guys can see it.
Yeah.
It's a silhouette of Joe with his belly out and his, like, spikes up. So it's a good little Easter egg.
Is that like Joe's, like, Alfred Hitchcock Presents moment?
It
really looks like that.
It's really, yeah, it's funny.
I never noticed that. That's
yeah, it's a pretty good one. It's a Easter egg for you guys.
That is great. And I got a text back from McPartland, by the way.
Okay.
Darius Martyr.
Whoa.
He directed the movie Sound of Metal.
I just watched that.
Yeah, that's the mark from the episode that we were talking about.
So, good name if it's for horror movies. Martyr?
Yeah.
Darius Martyr?
Yeah, just go with murder and change one letter.
No, or he should also make like religious movies too.
Yeah.
You know? Like, oh, that, what a martyr.
Exactly. But yeah, that was him.
Oh, that's cool. That's so fun. Look at our Marks growing up and doing so good.
We got him his big break. That's definitely what got him that horror gig.
Oh, it is. It's M-A-R, not martyr. Martyr, M-A-R-D-E-R. But that is
martyr,
very close.
What'd I say? Martyr.
Martyr, what'd I say?
I was thinking like you know, a martyr. Like a one, like, yeah, he got, like, died for sins.
Exactly, martyr.
Martyr.
Yeah, martyr.
Martyr.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny. It is so close to murder.
Yeah.
Did you just think it was, he does horror? Because Sound of Metal is not horror.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it because his name is Darius Martyr?
Oh, it's not a horror movie?
No.
Oh, what is it?
It's a movie about losing your hearing.
Wait, you really did watch the movie?
Yeah, yeah. I watched the movie. It's great.
Oh.
I highly recommend it.
All right.
It's definitely not a horror at all, but it deals with, in a sort of an intense way, like, what it's like losing your hearing. It's about this guy who, like, has been playing in a metal band for a long time and his hearing starts to go, and it's about dealing with it. And yeah, it's cool. It'll probably win an award.
Oh, interesting. Maybe Pete was just scared of it. I think that's why. Maybe Pete thought it was a horror and he got really scared and he called me up and he had trouble sleeping, and I, you know, played the podcast for him and he was eventually able to get to bed. So I think that's why I thought it was a horror movie. I'm not wrong. Can't be me.
I'll send him some chamomile.
Yes.
Yeah, but this was a fun challenge. I think it would be interesting to see what Joe would have done, but you know, you never know with these things. I think it's pretty cool.
And I could see us doing this one again some point in the future. And if we do it again, I would love for them to twist it back on themselves again.
Right.
If they make Joe go first or something, they're like, you know what, do your own.
It just happened that they were like, we're going to give Murr this this thing. And then it was just kind of, it just, that's, I love how the things just like kind of snowball from there, you know?
You can tell, I mean, speaking of butthurt from the first challenge, you could tell he was kind of like at the end of that, he's like, fine, now you guys go.
Yeah.
And he made them do it. I love it. I love that they just went along with it. It was really, really fun.
Yeah. I take some responsibility because I think I was there being like, this is MERS.
Oh, great. Oh, that's really good. Good job, Case. And also talking about mark of the episode,
yes.
My mark of the episode was the guy Sal was talking to.
Great. That's a good one. That's a really good one.
He was my guy because I just love that Sal, when he's like, do you want me to read it again? He's like, you can read it again, but I have heard it. It was my favorite line. Like, he's just like, I don't want to hear any more of your bullshit. He's like, you can. I'm gracious, but no.
Yeah. At one point, Sal like has to like hold the paper up because he like is laughing in his face from that line that he said that.
Yeah. It's so good. I love it. Was that your mark too, Shay?
That was my mark.
Mm. All right.
That was my mark. I like mine more so because of the pink hat, but.
Yep. Two good reasons. So that guy, you're our mark of the episode. With honorable mention, Fred Armisen's cousin, Rick.
I think if we're going crew member of the episode, we're going to have to give it to Sharon.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
In this next bit.
All-timer punishment. Great job, Sharon.
It's a universally great punishment. I mean, it's...
Yeah, pun always intended.
Yep. And the pun is intended in the pun. But it's so fun. Like, I had so much fun watching this. I was so giddy. And the first cut I saw was like a long one, you know? And it's still just as good. But like, I love sometimes you get to watch a rough cut. And this was one that I really wanted to see the rough cut of because I just wanted to see the whole experience. I just love seeing the thing go upside down. And then like, it's seamless once you're like looking on the shot and all the things that happened, like where stuff just all out of nowhere just fell from the floor up, like leaving all that stuff in is so funny.
It's so good. I mean, shout out to Will Thaxton for tackling this ridiculous punishment with his team and creating this device. Like, honestly, a little backstory on this whole punishment, kicking this around with the guys. There was a thing, I think Zaluga actually sent out, John Zaluga, one of the comedy producers, sent out a clip from Saturday Night Live from like the 70s or 80s when Penn and Teller do a bit. And there's this old Penn and Teller bit. I'll tweet it out after this podcast if you want to check it out. But you could see it and it just looks like they're sitting at a desk and it's not revealed until the end of their magic tricks and stuff that they're actually upside down the entire time. And so then we started kicking that around with the guys and talking about all these ideas. And we were like, well, why don't we send one of the guys to space, quote unquote, and we'll just do this trick of, you know, a little trick photography, basically. And that's kind of where the inspiration for this idea was.
Yeah.
And there's other moments too, where there was like a little bit of Charlie Chaplin inspiration from his movie, The Great Dictator. Mm-hmm. He does a bit where he's got a canteen and then the water flies up and hits him in the face, and that's inspired the gallon of milk that was hitting Murr in the face. It was like, all right, well, how can we get bigger than a canteen? We'll just have this whole jug of milk and the milk will come up and hit him in the face. And it was great.
It just looks so good. Like when the toothpaste is coming out upside down, you know, amazing. And it's just going up like it. It's so, and the kids' reactions are like, you know, kind of make it because they're like, they're amazed. They think someone's in space and they're like, that's what it's like. It's so fun. I almost try to push pet cremation and grandparent divorce since I saw him, like, you know, him talking to kids again.
Yeah.
Definitely was thinking that while watching it. And then the cup goes, like, you know what I mean? He just like, let's go and it goes the wrong way.
It's so good. Yeah. When the cup just drops straight down, it's like, he goes like, completely breaking.
I think it was this spaghetti in his arms.
Yeah.
Him with the floating arms, trying to like acting like everything was floating in.
I know.
Yeah.
I love that. Shay, you nailed it. Like, I love that he did that because he's such like a performer. You know, like he wants to show these kids that like, he doesn't want to lie to kids. He wants them to believe that he's like in space. Cause he probably like likes the idea of the kids looking at him thinking he's an astronaut.
Yeah.
He makes the most sense for this punishment too. He's probably got the closest to like an astronaut look, you know?
He does. Well, the nice thing about him is that Murr's bald. And so his hair stays consistent the entire time when he flips upside down and right side up. So it's like, if it was Q, for example, his hair would be floating up half the time and then settled the other half of the time. So you get a more consistent look with Murr for this bit. So that does work. And you're right. He does like have more of the fit look than the rest of the guys. One point of disappointment, I will say, on this punishment, no one will ever know from watching it. We actually originally wanted to do this with a real astronaut in outer space and NASA was on board. Chris Cassidy, yeah, is a big fan of the show. He's a real astronaut, was on the ISS, and we couldn't get it done in time. Like the production window and the window for him, you know, obviously he's got a lot of work to do while he was up there, but he was going to be the moderator like Sharon was, like talking to kids from space. Oh no, actually, I think Sharon was still going to moderate. He was going to be on one wing of the spacecraft,
right?
And Q was going to be on the other wing, quote unquote. And so it was going to be a little bit of like, Chris is like, here's how I brush my teeth. And then Q would be like, and here's how I brush my teeth.
Yeah.
And so it'd be like a little bit of a tit for tat in that way.
I mean, it doesn't need it. And I think like we got more funny stuff in the cut, like happening to Murr. But yeah, I mean, just for how impressive it would be to get a real astronaut.
Exactly.
It's like when we got like Kayla, who's a champion jiu-jitsu artist to throw Murr through tables. It's like Kayla just gives us such like, I don't know, legitimacy. And I think having an astronaut, like what's more legitimate than that? Just the gravity of having that was just...
Exactly. Just would have been out of this world. But, you know, we couldn't get that. But to what you're saying, Case, I agree. I think, honestly, it would have been cool, but it probably would have cut out some jokes at the same time.
True.
Listen, only you guys know that. That's why you listen to the podcast. You get a little bit of behind the scenes. If you just watch the episode, perfect. It's like a great punishment. And who knows? Maybe we'll figure out how to use the astronaut somewhere else on the show. It is just such a fun one. And I really, really, really enjoyed it.
It's fun. It's like, it's timeless. It's classic. It's like, it's such a, I also just love when the thing's spinning, you could kind of, it's like shaking a little bit, like Murr's kind of shaking, but it doesn't seem, kudos to Will Thaxton and everybody who made this happen. Like our entire art department and the people who built it.
Yes.
Are there more people who aren't even like on our crew that helped with this?
And thanks for reminding me, Case. What I wanted to get to is originally when we were talking about this with Will, we're like, yeah, it could just be like one of those inversion tables that you like flip them upside down and flip them right back up. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, just have like the static background like attached to the table. And Will was like, no, I don't see it like that. He's like, I think I want to build a rig that has to turn. And so we filmed at this place called Prop and Spoon, which is like a, Shay, you've been there a bunch. What would you call it? Like a
prop house,
it's a prop house. They kind of build everything. They make everything. So from action figures to the wheel, if you want to call it.
Yeah.
Spaceship wheel or whatever.
That's how they did a lot of like music videos too, that same exact style. Like if you look at, I think there's an NSYNC one. Yeah, Jamiroquai. Well, no, Jamiroquai is like, I'm definitely thinking of there's an NSYNC one where the room is spinning around.
Okay.
And they do like a green screen.
There's one like that too for Sugar Ray did one.
Yeah, Sugar Ray. That's it. The fly video. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I just want to fly. So the camera's locked to the actual wheel to the room. And the room tilts and the camera is locked with it. So the whole thing tilts. And then when you edit it, you have the room always in the same spot because the camera doesn't move. But the person seems like they're walking on the yeah, it's genius. I mean, it's brilliant. It's so simple too. There's a lot of videos that did that. I definitely think there's like an NSYNC one too. Shout out. We could talk to Fatone and see if he remembers.
But yeah, it's a really cool little camera trick. And I think again, kudos to Will and everyone at Prop and Spoon for figuring it out because it looks great. And you can see Sal's reaction. You can see all the guy's reaction, but Sal really, it blows his mind when he's watching the BTS screen, which he sees every day of his life for the most part. And he's seeing Murray inverted on one screen and then not inverted in the other. And just like watching that, it was like crazy to see. It's fun to be able to watch the BTS screen. Have we shown that on TV before to like see what the guys see? Basically, it's like those four panels where you get to see all the different
Yeah, not a lot.
Yeah, so it may have snuck out there once or twice, or maybe the guys have even
like when the guys are falling, like Sal falls on the floor a lot, and the camera will go over.
Yeah,
sometimes it'll go, or maybe when they're running back into BTS, I don't know.
So it's like a four-panel shot, and you really see what our cameramen are shooting, like all four things at once. And so you're seeing some Mark reactions, you're seeing one angle of the Joker, you're seeing another angle of the Joker. It just makes a composite of things. And like, that's why you'll see the guys kind of pointing at the screen sometimes. That's why they're pointing, because it'd be like, look at this quadrant basically, and like see this reaction, stuff like that. So yeah, it was just fun to watch him react and have his mind kind of blown in that way as he's watching this cool camera trick play out.
Yeah, that's so cool.
It was awesome. Like I can't say enough about this punishment. There was one thing that I heard, and I'll double check on this. I think one of the kids in the punishment is on Sesame Street sometimes. So one of the kids is actually, I heard, on Sesame Street sometimes. And so the way that this works is like, again, this is, we obviously filmed this one during COVID. in normal times, what we would want to do is like get a classroom, just be like, hey, can we do this with the classroom? Can we get Sharon in there with the kids and we'll bring up the screen, right? Well, because we have to do everything virtually, I think we had to reach out to some students and we were able to get some students, but then because we're actually filming during school days, we couldn't get a lot of students. So we had to get one, or Murray doesn't know this. He thinks they're all just little kids, but a couple of the kids were actors. And like they were brought in to watch. They didn't know what they were watching, but they basically got hired to come in and watch. So that's how that happened. So again, to Murray, he thinks he's talking to all like, you know, some Jersey second grade, fourth grade, whatever it was, classroom. And it turns out it's actually some kids from a class, and then some kids were actually actors that got brought in. So just want to clear that up as to why that is the case.
To say they're actors too, they just got paid.
Right.
All right. So before we go, I want to take one more question that we got on Twitter. And now if you have a question, please hit up any of us at Casey Jost, at McJames McCarthy, at
Shea Starchild, one of those, something like that.
S-H-A-S-T-A-R-C-H-I-L-D.
C-H-A-S-T-A-R-C-H-I-L-D.
Yeah, find us. Yeah, you'll find us. Anyway, so the question that we got is, did the job applicants from, they wrote last episode, get paid? Now, this was when, you know, we had all our crew members in different rooms. And at one point, Cole is like eating paper.
Right.
And Dan Cast is a ghost.
Yeah. So, the office sitter's bit.
Yeah.
So, called it. Yeah.
Yeah. So the question is sort of about like, so those people came, you think that they're there for like the job application. And then at the end, we're going to be like, hey, it's actually just Impractical Jokers. Sorry.
Yeah.
You know, but it's not, we were not as harsh as that. It wasn't the case. You want to enlighten that one, James?
Yeah, basically the way we always want to deliver on whatever people think they're getting in terms of money. So like that job may have been presented as, can you work 2 days for X amount of money? They just show up basically to be on Impractical Jokers, and then we still give them X amount of money. They're getting what they thought they would be getting. It wasn't like they were going to become like the new night watchman at this place or work like every day at this company. Right. It's they're going to get hired to work a gig for a set amount of time, whether it's 1 day or 2 days, or even if we say it's like a week or whatever.
2 days is smart because what you get there is like, hey, we're going to give you the money for 2 days, but it's really just 1 day. And all you did was done already.
Right. And it's like, do you want to stick around?
Exactly. And the guys are really smart about this. And since the beginning, the guys were like, we've always wanted to do a challenge where like we have actors audition. Uh-huh. And we always felt like, oh, you can't, because they're coming out to audition. You're saying basically that at the end, like, hey, this was fake. There's no actual role. And we're going to put you on TV in a capacity that you probably wouldn't want because you're an actor.
Right.
And it's kind of a lose-lose for everyone. It doesn't seem as nice. So we've never done something like that. We only would do, like, if there is an actor, it's because like they're in on it, mm-hmm. and we use them in some other capacity, or something like this, where it's like, we do it the other way around, where the guys are applying for a job position, right? Uh-huh. Where we did that, where like they're interviewing for a job. And so this is a good one. Cause you're like, imagine you go, you're supposed to be there for 2 days to get paid. Then you're just like, oh, that's it. I'm done. Oh, this is awesome. I get paid. Great. For 2 days. But that's a good question. And we think about these things. I'm glad that someone asked that.
Right. And so, yeah, the marks all end up getting made whole in the end. I will say though, Case, there is a couple ideas. There are a couple ideas, I should say. See, my grammar's terrible. I need Murray to edit me. There are a couple ideas that we do have actors for coming up potentially later in season 9. The guys kind of figured out a way to do it. So maybe it's a little bit of how to use them in an audition process, or maybe it's how to skip an audition process and get people used, and maybe to embarrass the guys more than it is the marks, and not to waste their time. And again, we want to make everyone whole in the end. We want them to get what they wanted when they show up, whether it's X amount of money or no, that's it. It's always just X amount of money.
It's just money. And we bank in that it's going to be a lot of time so that they feel good. I mean, you know, that's to me, time is money. I've always said,
yeah,
and that's the best part. Imagine if someone's like, hey, this is going to be like an entire day, and you get there and you do something for 20 minutes and they're like, you're done, baby. Like, what a great feeling that is.
And sometimes they don't want to be on TV and they get paid anyway, because we showed up for the focus group, and then they're like, yeah, you can blur me if you want. We're like, cool, great. Yeah. We got to do another turn.
Great question. Please hit us up at Shay Starchild, which I nailed this time.
Very
at
Casey good.
Jost, at Mick James McCarthy, or yep. You could even do hashtag Joker's podcast. We appreciate you guys so much for listening. Thank you so much. It's a fun one. I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as James did.
Loved it. I love all you. Thanks for listening.
And by now your tea is probably cold. So heat it up and get out of here.
Yeah. And goodbye. If you're asleep, goodbye. Don't want to wake you.
Bye. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, Shay.
Good night, Shay. Shay.
Shay, you're sleeping.
Don't wake her up, Case.
Bye, guys.
Good night.
The official Impractical Joker Podcast.